To be honest, if you look at the demand, the majority of the batteries will go to the car manufacturers. And I expect a point in time where the stationary battery storage manufacturers will not be able to get the batteries with acceptable prices or even with acceptable quality. And this is the time when we need to be able to work with second life batteries or even with B-grade batteries that don't meet the quality criteria.
Welcome to the Smarter E Podcast Special, a six-part miniseries recorded live at the Smarter E Europe, which took place in June in Munich, having visitors from all over the world flocking to Munich to visit the Intersolar, the EES, Power to Drive, and EM Power. We used the opportunity to sit down with some of them and dive deeper into some of the major current topics. Enjoy.
Well, for our fourth episode, we seem to be diving into something that is sort of like a trending topic here at the Smarter E 2023. Last year, I had the feeling there was a lot of talk about electric mobility and also maybe V2G and how far are we from integrating cars into the grid. This year, there seems to be a lot of buzz around storage in general. Hence, we of course want to dive deeper into the topic as well. And for that, I invited co-founder and managing director of Stable, Nam Thuong. Welcome, Nam.
Thank you, happy to be here.
So Stable is known not only for having a new storage system using second life batteries and offering those storage systems also on a subscription-based model, but they have a very specific innovative inverter technology that does not rely on a high voltage battery. So I'm very curious to talk about that, but of course about storage in general, because it's obvious with that massive growth of electromobility we see, there'll be more and more EV batteries out there on the market for second life use cases. So we really need to address that. And that's something that Stable does with huge success. So glad to tap into that and to look how that can contribute to creating a net zero energy system in the future. Well, Nam, having said that, so what really is the key to a sustainable circular economy for batteries?
I think the key to a really sustainable and circular battery economy is to have all the relevant stakeholders and players aligned. Talking from the beginning of the chain, the battery manufacturers, over the car manufacturers, also the dismantlers, recyclers, and users like we are. That is something that we currently see as a roadblock for a lot of consolidations where people want to collaborate, because the interests of these players are not always aligned. And for these cases, regulatory frameworks, for example, the battery passport, are a big help.
Now, that's something that, of course, like the longer the time horizon is, the more difficult it is to plan ahead and to also have the urgencies of all the stakeholders that need to be involved. So how close are we to have like a threshold of a significant enough number of batteries already going into second life use cases so that we actually, you know, have all the stakeholders that have to deal with the whole life cycle on the table?
So to be honest, the number of real second life batteries on the markets are relatively low. The majority of the batteries that come back are production scrap that don't meet the quality requirements for the electric vehicle anymore. From a battery engineer point of view, these would still be considered new batteries. And if we look at the lifetimes of the electric vehicles, I would say we expect the larger wave of electric vehicle batteries sometime in 2028, 29, or maybe even later.
So that's still 5 years from now, but there is significant urgency to get all the stakeholders involved.
There is, because we need to put everything into action already and gain experience with already semi-aged batteries. I mean, we do use old batteries, for example, from Kia that have relatively little remaining capacity. And we need to be prepared for the large wave. Otherwise, we can't be experimenting with new architectures in 2030. That would be too late.
Now, of course, sustainability is one of the big drivers of thinking about it, but I assume there might be others. So apart from really wanting to use resources the most efficient way possible, what is the use case for second life energy storage and why do we need it apart from the sustainability aspect?
There's also, I guess, a strategic aspect for the stationary storage industry. Because we expect a huge demand on batteries, which is a good sign because we see electrification in the mobility sector. We also see an increase of renewable energy storage. But to be honest, if you look at the demand, the majority of the batteries will go to the car manufacturers. And I expect a point in time where the stationary battery storage manufacturers will not be able to get the batteries with acceptable prices or even with acceptable quality. And this is the time when we need to be able to work with second life batteries or even with B-grade batteries that don't meet the quality criteria.
So it's really a workaround on making sure that not only do we use resources efficiently, but that we actually can use the scarce or limited resources we have for all areas that we need to cover to get the new energy world going. Now, what kind of use cases are we looking at from small to big? Because I remember at the opening panel that we had here at the Smarter E, I know one of the panelists on the main stage also said we really need to look into integrating storage on a transmission level. Usually you would think about maybe storage next to a company, car park, whatever. So which use cases do you envision specifically for the second life batteries?
So for the second life batteries, we're talking about automotive grade batteries in this case, so they can serve the same applications as first life batteries. There are other niche applications where volume and size are a factor, then I would resort to first life. In any other case, it doesn't make a difference. It's just an economic advantage and a more sustainable solution to use second life.
So if I understood correctly, it really doesn't matter how you assemble them. You might use one battery pack just for a simple buffer use case next to a car charger. You might use it in a bigger bulk if it's about a fleet, and you might use it in an even bigger bulk if it's somewhere in a transmission use case. Same battery pack, it's just a question of how many do I integrate into a storage.
Yes, exactly, that's how it works. We have a modular approach where we have one building block that always looks the same. And depending on the application, I can put it into a container, I can place it indoor, I can have one system, I can have 15 systems. It really depends on the application.
So, I mean, it all sounds very necessary, but I'm sure there's more challenges than what you said earlier, just bringing the stakeholders together. What are some of the other roadblocks that we need to still overcome?
Well, they're still related to this alignment of the stakeholders. And what we're struggling with is getting quality data about the batteries. We have a lot of resistance even getting the basic information on the battery that is necessary to safely operate them. And secondly, there's still a lagging regulatory framework because it's a new topic, there's no rules yet, and there's a lot of uncertainty what we can do in the future and what we can't.
All right. I mean, that seems to be like the perfect mix of everything. Regulation and data, no matter what industry, what brand, no matter what we're talking about, it always comes down to regulation and sharing data. I'm not going to dive deeper into that because unfortunately nobody yet has found the holy grail for that. So actually, Stable won the EES award last year in 2022, specifically for your innovative inverter technology, because I think the jury awarded you for the fact that with this technology, for the first time, you do not need high voltage batteries, but you can use low voltage batteries. Maybe you can, to me, as like an outsider, explain the advantage of that.
Yes, of course. So one obvious advantage is that we don't have the dangerous high voltage anymore. That means we have more access to working personnel that can already build up the system without having specific qualifications. Which I see is a bottleneck in the future for building up like the entire renewable system. Secondly, of course, which is the main reason why we dive into second life with our technology, is that we can control each battery module independently. The big challenge of batteries is that the aging is like progressing at different speeds for each battery in the high voltage pack. And you can imagine a high voltage pack like a chain. The weakest link determines the performance. And if of those 200 cells, battery cells that are in series, just a single one is weak, then we have to reduce the performance of the entire chain. That would be the conventional case. Now, if we avoid this high voltage battery pack, we don't have the risk of having one battery failing or underperforming to affect all the other batteries.
All right. Well, that makes even sense to me as a non-expert. Perfectly. What else are you up to? I mean, that innovation is out there already. I guess you're hungry for more. What are you cooking up in your secret stable lab?
Well, it's part of our mission to actually pioneer the world into a net zero emissions energy system, which means that we're continuously reinventing ourselves. That also goes into different areas. So, for example, the energy storage as a service model, we were the first ones to offer that for a long-term contract period. We now see a few competitors copying that model, which is a confirmation that we were the leaders of that. And of course, that's a good sign if others also believe that's a thing to copy. We also believe in fairness in our company. So, for example, every employee is awarded company shares, every full-time employee. I would also say that is some kind of innovation from a business model or business point of view. And what the engineers are cooking in the lab, I don't even know where to start. So there are ideas coming up every day. In the next few months, we need to prioritize which of these great ideas we'll actually put into action.
Now, having such a specific focus on second life batteries and specifically on a net zero energy system, does it sort of limit you from tapping into first life batteries?
I would have different answers on that depending on the time. Today, I would say we definitely go into the second life market because of all the benefits, both economically as well as from an ecological point of view. And I do believe that this topic will persist in the next years, definitely. I have no doubts. But of course, the world is dynamic and everything's changing. And if the parameters change, and let's say the recycling is so efficient and cheap that it makes sense to not go into the complicated handling, but recycling the batteries immediately, then it would make sense to go into the first life. And because of our core technology being the battery inverter, we would be happy to go into the first life if it makes more sense.
All right. Well, actually hearing that, how far are we from having first life batteries that are based on recycled components or raw materials?
So we see that there are European Union regulations that set a minimum amount of recycled materials in the battery cells. So we're progressing with that regard. The problem here is that the recycling processes are still at a, I would say, maturity level that is not sufficient to make that possible in an economical way. I would expect at least 5 more years until that is a good replacement.
And I guess on top of that, if like second life use cases are out like 5 years or 10 years because they first have to go into the first use case market, recycling is even further out because if batteries go into first life, that's like ideally 8 to 10 years. Then you have a second life use case that can actually be 15 years. And then comes the recycling. So we're somewhere in the mid 30s, 40s. So obviously the market for that is, that's a long horizon. Well, that's been awesome. That was a great update on what's happening, specifically in second life use case storage. Thanks a lot for joining me now.
All right, great. Thanks, Takas.
This was the fourth episode of our mini-series recorded live at the SmarTE Europe in Munich in June. We have 2 more episodes to go, and for our 5th episode, I sat down with Frank Hauquit, senior advisor at Apricom and Apricom's representative in China. Frank usually lives in Taipei, but of course visited the SmarTE Europe in Munich as well, so we used this unique opportunity to get a very intimate insight into what's happening in the Chinese PV market and what kind of developments we might be missing out on. So stay tuned and don't miss out on our next episode.